Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Join me Mondays at noon as we explore the universal energy that connects us all. Let's discuss our journey of self-discovery, joy, presence, and living with authenticity. We can create positive change in the world, and it starts within each one of us. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Hello and welcome to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and this is CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, or you might be listening online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network, or in Kamloops at CFBX, or in Nova Scotia at Axe Radio Canada. And I'm speaking really quickly because I have Allegra Miller waiting on the line, but before we do that, I want to do the draw for the prize from the fun drive. Opus Hotel so generously donated a one-night stay at the amazing Opus Hotel in Yaletown in Vancouver, and this is a weekend night stay, I believe. I think it's a $385 value, and the amazing Ska T from Ska T's Scenic Drive is here, shaking it. I've got the mic on there for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm shaking it. Give her.
All right, okay, whatever name you want to pick. Okay.
Okay. Open her up.
I've wrapped them up in little balls.
Little crunchy balls here. It's Tim.
Woohoo! All right. Thank you. So I will be delivering that prize. Thank you very much for your help,
no
Scotty.
Problem, no problem.
Thank you. Yay. And if you're new to, if you just listen to my show and you're listening to another station, Scotty's Scenic Drive is the show before mine. What time does it start? 11
a.m.? 11 a.m. PST.
11 a.m. Thanks, Scotty.
No problem.
Have a good one. All right, and thank you to everyone who donated to the funding drive for Synchronicity, as well as the entire station. We did meet our goal. They're still tallying it up, but we definitely hit our $30,000 goal. So thank you, thank you, thank you. We so appreciate that. And now on to Allegra Miller. Where is her bio here? I had it. All right. Well, anyway, we are going to talk with Allegra Miller. Oh, here she. Here it is. Allegra is a speaker, writer, health coach, and awakening life coach that offers a deep, direct, and simple wake-up call. Her teaching is a radical yet gentle dose of truth that nudges you to move to an entirely new level of seeing, being, and relating. Who doesn't need that, right? And after 15-plus years of intense spiritual inquiry and inner work, a strong calling to serve as a catalyst for planetary awakening emerged for Allegra, and with the encouragement of her mentors and teachers, she began teaching in 2011, and she holds a Bachelor of Science in Biopsychology from the University of Michigan, a Natural Health Educator degree from the Naturopathic Institute, and she's a certified life coach with an extensive background in neuroscience, business, and medicine. And you can find her at Allegra, that's with two L's, AllegraMiller.com. So welcome to the show, Allegra.
Thank you very much, Marie. Hi.
Hi. So now I was reading your, you sent me an email. Thank you so much. First of all, I met you on Facebook, and
yes.
I just love that because it connects us with the most interesting people that we wouldn't normally meet. And so what was it that, did I approach you or did you approach me? I can't remember.
You know, you had posted something about a breakup. And I just mentioned that I was doing the series coming up, and I wasn't sure if it was going to be recorded or not. And that was how that gateway opened.
Awesome. Well, as I mentioned on the phone, and you, if you're a Facebook friend, then you know every week there seems to be a new breakup in my life. So I'm so glad that you're helping people with breakups. So Breaking Up with an Open Heart is the four-week series.
Yes.
When does it start? And tell us a little bit about it.
Okay, so the series itself starts in April 8th, actually. And it's right now it's in Grand Rapids, Michigan. It's going to be a focus group. But hopefully before then, there will be the opportunity for folks from abroad to tap in. Hopefully it will be recorded. That's what I'm working on right now. So if people are interested, they can certainly contact me via my website or email. And so the series, yes, is about breaking up in a conscious way that is basically taking a giant leap in evolution and breaking up with love and seeing that whoever has come into the field of our experience is exactly part of the recipe required for the evolution of consciousness happening through us. And sometimes that means that the partner stays in our life, and sometimes it means that they don't. And so to just accept that that person has come in to give us the lessons that were required for the next stage of evolution is pretty revolutionary. It takes the blame, the judgment, all the heated emotions that usually accompany a breakup out of the equation.
So, Allegra, I'm curious now, when I think of breakups, I usually think of romantic relationships, but you can have breakups of friendships, and even leaving a job behind or being let go from a job can be a form of, I mean, it kind of feels like a breakup on an energetic level. Do you deal with anything like that, or is it specifically romantic?
You know, I do actually in coaching, and I very much agree. Intimacy, when it boils down, is not about just romantic partnership. It's about all the relationships that we enter. So, I do that on a personal coaching level, and I didn't really think about that relative to the series. It could be any of those things, honestly.
So,
when you have a deep friendship and all of a sudden that's not there, there can be immense loss, the loss of a loved one. I mean, really, it's essentially... They're like dealing with a death.
It is. It's, yeah, I mean, it's a loss of something that was important to you.
Yes, yes.
And now I'm curious, Allegra, what was it that made you, why did you decide to do a workshop in breakups? Like, did you have a breakup that really changed you, or how did that come about?
I did. I ended... A little over 2 years ago, I ended a 10-year relationship, which was definitely a portal in my evolution of doing that, you know, along the way. I mean, there was a process involved, obviously, a 10-year relationship. It wasn't like just all of a sudden I decided to leave. So, you know, having been a bit of a spiritual junkie for most of my 20s, you know, I say that affectionately, you know, just very much immersed in Advaita teachings and non-duality teachings and having done a lot of inner work on lots of levels, not just spiritually, I entered this breakup with a lot of awareness and saw things arise in that process that really inspired me to help other people on this path. So that was part of the inspiration in answer to your question. And I see in general part of the transformation equation, part of real awakening means that essentially anything within us that wants to be seen, that is undivided, wants to come up, and it's easy in the midst of any kind of relationship to have that stuff be coming up and make it seem like it's about the partner. And it's a trap I see many people fall into, and it's easy to do. And so it just really inspired me to be of service in that way and help people not fall into that, help people to see that some of those little pitfalls of awakening, so to speak.
Thank you, Allegra. Yeah. It's interesting about how it's not about the partner, because so many times, like when we're in romantic relationships or even jobs or friendships or whatever, I mean, the people around us are really a mirror of what we're putting out into the world, right? So we see the issues that come up and we're viewing them, we're looking at them the perspective of us, it's like we're seeing them come from another person, but really it's because of how we're behaving or what we're thinking.
Yes, absolutely. And people don't realize that. So part of my inspiration in doing this series is absolutely to show people that, to really, and it takes a lot of courage to go to that level, you know, when push comes to shove for a lot of people, to take responsibility for the characters that appear in our field as mirrors of ourself or shades of the self that want to be seen. And as I often say in the talks that I give, loved free. It's the next level of relating, of really seeing that that there is a there's an intelligence behind all of this stuff that wants to pull all of these parts of the self up to the surface. And, to embrace the mirror, to love the mirror. You know, most people see those mirrors and they want to break them, they want to run from them, and my message is very much the end of resistance. Taking the mirror in, processing it, not necessarily keeping it on the wall, but really acknowledging that it's a gift, and it's part of, if one is aware and really dedicated to liberation, it really means taking responsibility for all the mirrors that show up and loving them.
Allegra, I was on my way to the station today and I was thinking about, you know, what we were going to talk about, how it was going to go.
Yeah.
And probably the breakup, I mean, gosh, there's been so many breakups, I don't even know which one you saw me post about on Facebook, but I'm assuming it was the most recent one. you know, when you're dating a lot, it's like there's a new breakup every week. But the one that was most recent in like earlier this year, I was thinking about that on my way here today, and I'm kind of at that place where I can take responsibility for the fact that I got hurt because it was my own fault for getting involved with him in the first place. And I see the judgment there, and I see that that's not, I mean, I know he did his best. I did my best. In my conscious mind, like my wise mind doesn't blame him, but at the same time, my ego wants to blame someone. And because I don't feel right about blaming him, I blame myself. And I really want to get past that and just sort of be able to unconditionally love him from a distance and not be attached to like, well, you hurt me, so I'm mad at you, or I let you hurt me, so I'm mad at myself. I mean, how do you get past that?
Yeah, well, that's a very valid point, because part of that blame equation, it very much, if it's not about the other person, people begin to wage these wars on themselves of, why did I do this? Why did I do this to myself? I shouldn't have done this. You know, the list goes on and on. So how does one really come to peace with that? The talk that I, you know, the people that are being drawn to my talks and the coaching are people that are on the path of self-realization. And so, you know, where I would direct them in this type of thing would be to really see that essentially it seemed like there was a choice, right? There was a choice in choosing to be with this partner. And likewise, I mean, it cuts both ways. But like I said earlier, consciousness is always giving us exactly the recipe required for our growth. So when we start to get that on a really deep level, that this person came into my field to bring up whatever shadowy stuff maybe needed to arise. I mean, often people have issues with rejection or self-worth or, you know, whatever those core stories get pulled up to the surface in relationships. One in this type of situation would really look and say, isn't it beautiful that this relationship came into the field, that I was in the flow enough, even though it was bittersweet and it was painful, it brought up these elements of myself to really process and look at and to be able to be transparent to. So I don't know if that is that helpful?
Well, it makes me, I feel like I need to meditate more because I'm still like, I'm still on that surface level. And it's actually, I mean, I've had so many breakups in the last 2 years that I'm actually sort of in this limbo place with a new person who is very lovely and wants a relationship with me. And I'm sort of like, I would like to go there, but I don't want to make the same mistakes again. And so I feel like, and I don't want to be coming at any new relationship or really my life in general from a place of fear of making another mistake, because that's just completely ineffective and a waste of time and unfair for him. And at the same time, you know, I mean, it's just like, yeah, I'm neurotic.
Well, the thing is, you know, on the deepest level, once one gets to the source of love, you know, what usually draws us to another person is this desire to be in the state of completion or wholeness, right? I mean, that's most of what drives relationships, and that's beautiful and it's sweet, but inevitably it's empty. And so if one at this particular juncture can come to really a deep awareness that wholeness comes within first, and that completeness can only be found in the nature of one's being, which is the interconnected whole, then there's no mistakes that one can make from that place, because it's not, I'm desiring this person so that they can complete me. You know, it's from a different place. It's from an autonomous, free place. It's really love in for the sake of loving, not because you need the other person. And it sounds like that's the place that you're already at in your path of transformation, of really realizing that another person isn't going to do it, you know, that any sense of completion or wholeness is not about the other person. So the other person, I mean, essentially, after a certain degree of realization, you really realize that romantic partnership is like the bonus that comes as a reflection of our own inner completeness. And until we really get to that point, then we attract. I mean, I find right now it's interesting to just see the energies that I pull into, and I don't even want to say the word I, but, you know, we attract ourselves. And so it's interesting to see, like you alluded to earlier, what we attract that wants to be seen in ourselves. What mirror do we attract that is going to show us where we're at, where evolution is at through us?
Allegra, you mentioned wholeness, and yeah. I totally agree that we need to be whole people in order to have a healthy, like, two whole people coming together. And like you said, it's a bonus. And for me, I'm noticing almost that I'm more whole when I'm not in a relationship. Like, I feel like that focus on another person distracts me from my own wholeness. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
How do you get around that?
Well, I think there's a tremendous power in intention, first off. So entering a relationship from the platform that you're already married to yourself on the deepest level, to the source, to God, to self with a big S, whatever you want to call it. So when that becomes the most important thing, and that really is what we're committed to on a deep level, that requires dedication. It requires a constant reminder, so to speak, that yes, that's what we're up to in this game, right? In this game called life, that is the most important thing. And just like anything else, it's like building that muscle. So like Nisargadatta, one of the teachers that really impacted my path, would speak of the term earnestness a lot. You know, really, really looking within to see what is motivating my action, whether it's in a relationship or a job or a friendship, right? What is the most important thing in my life? And when that answer becomes the I am presence, knowing oneself on the deepest level, the rest takes care of itself. But, you know, so I think the differentiator in all of this is really looking, where is my intention? Is my intention to find wholeness or completeness in another person? Is my intention to stay grounded and be in a relationship? So, you know, it's sort of like learning anything new. If we've had a pattern of entering a relationship and losing ourselves or losing that intention, it just takes gently reminding oneself that of what the most important thing is, and then finding someone that's also their most important thing. And then, you know,
see,
you're both in the same boat.
It's funny because as soon as you say that, it brings up all of these thoughts like, okay, yes, I'm the most important and I need to be present and all about me. And I want my partner to also be all about me, to be honest. I know that that's an unrealistic expectation, but my ego really wants, like, it's all about me.
Yeah, well, and ideally, the ideal situation is that one is so in love with the self and so whole that they're just overflowing with love, so that mm-hmm. there is totally, you know, room for that gushy, juicy, romantic affection just for the bonus of it, right? Just to give it, because the love is already centered here. So ideally, that's what you're wanting to manifest yourself, someone that's complete from within, whole and complete, and is able to give you all of that love. But it's not that other kind of love, that clingy, graspy love that we're conditioned to have.
Yeah, that's
so
yucky.
I'm here to say that you can have both things. It's just not the way that it used to look, you know?
All right.
And then in turn, from being complete and whole within, you can do that to the other person, right? The more, it's clear to me that the more that we master the art of self-care, then we're able to do that to another person. Until we really get it within, we tend to mirror other people that, other people tend to mirror that part of ourselves that's not really, that hasn't yet mastered the art of self-care, so.
Yeah. Well, I guess, I mean, we have to be easy on ourselves, too, because we get, like, part of me is like, well, I still have massive issues, and so maybe I shouldn't be in a relationship. I have no business being in a relationship because this keeps happening or whatever. But at the same time, you learn and you grow from your relationships. So,
yeah, and to have that be an intention to enter a partnership where you're both in this conscious evolution of consciousness together, so you're growing together. You know, there's no finish line with transformation. Consciousness is constantly evolving. So ideally, you're going to want a partnership that you can grow together and have the bumps in the road together and realize that it's all part of the process.
Mm. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Allegra. It's such a pleasure speaking with you, and I'm super excited to continue the conversation. It is time for a break, so we will be back with more synchronicity in a moment. Right now, we are speaking with Allegra Miller, and she is doing a workshop, Breaking Up with an Open Heart. It's a 4-week series, and you can find her at allegramiller.com. Registration is required, and the first day of the course is April 8th. So that is coming up fairly soon. Again, allegramiller.com is her website, and we will be back with more synchronicity in a moment.
Hi, my name is Colin. I worked construction for a lot of years. I was the first guy they called on a new job. Then the pain started. Started real small, hardly could feel it. After a while, it got so bad I couldn't bend over. Couldn't sit, couldn't drive. Every doctor I went to couldn't find nothing. One even said it was in my head. From there, I lost everything. 10 or 15 years went by, smoking weed and whatnot. I don't remember the last years at all. Some people caught me trying to climb over a bridge railing, got me help. Now, with the right meds, we've got the pain under control. I used to think drug use was a death sentence. I got life instead.
This message was produced by Columbian Center Society and Radio Malaspina in British Columbia.
Are you looking for a volunteer opportunity that fits your schedule? Being a big sister takes less time than you think, and you can choose the volunteer opportunity that fits your life. Spend just 1 hour a week as a study buddy, tutor, or 2 hours a week as a big sister. Check out the various mentoring programs at Big Sisters of BC Lower Mainland and find a volunteer position and a little sister that will suit you to a T. Visit bigsisters.bc.ca for more information today.
Want to know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we are speaking with Allegra Miller. You can find her at allegramiller.com, and she is doing a four-week series, Breaking Up with an Open Heart. Welcome back to the show. And I have this image of, like, open heart surgery, because that's sort of what it feels like sometimes when you have a breakup. You're like, it's this gaping wound. Before the break, we were talking about wholeness and self-care and being full and having extra love rather than being empty and trying to get love from other people. Are you going to be talking about that in your series, or let's talk a little bit about more specifically what you're going to work on each week?
Each week, I'm going to talk about some clearing practices. So really looking at remapping the history of the relationship, putting it in a new enlightened context, getting out of the story that the mind may make up about the relationship, like we talked about at the beginning of the hour, that judgment, whether it's toward the other person or toward ourselves, the blame, the regret, all the stories that the conditioned mind that comes up with has. So really looking at that and looking at even that with love, where the mind may want to go in relation to the breakup. And seeing it, cultivating a witnessing presence with it, and then seeing it in a new context, seeing it in, again, not to use this term too often during this interview, but the evolution of consciousness, you know, the awakening. A lot of people don't realize on the path of awakening that it isn't necessarily just about the bliss chasing and the warm, fuzzy, beautiful feeling of being connected to the whole. You know, there's parts of that that go with it that, you know, usually people tap into and then they want to run. Awakening is really about the destruction of one's entire world, you know, all the ways that we've been conditioned to be, what we've taken ourselves to be, all belief systems. When we really dive into questioning our belief systems, we realize that not only do all of our belief systems need to be questioned and seen, but all of the belief systems of humanity and of the collective consciousness at large. So basically, in the beginning of this course, I will be talking about how, you know, really just questioning this, questioning the mind, questioning the beliefs we have around all of this. And that's like breaking an addiction. So cultivating witnessing presence, then putting it in a new context, putting it in a new context of this being the recipe that was required for my growth, for this other person's growth, that the other person really is myself. We alluded to the mirror earlier, but you know, beyond just a mirror, beyond just that notion, that other person is myself on the deepest level. And So, I mean, I my teachings tend to be pretty direct, you know. So those will be the levels that I go in, creating a new story for how this relationship got together, and for the future of it. Because, you know, we don't just leave a relationship and have it just be done, like that other person is out of our life. That connection, that love that initially was there is always there. And so to really cultivate love and have the type of love shift into that agape love, that real deep recognition that other person is myself, and to love however unfolded. So I'll be working with that. I use a process. Have you heard of Ho'oponopono before?
Oh, yeah. I love Ho'oponopono. Sweet.
Yes. So I use that as one of the tools in my tool belt, so to speak, in helping people to clear self-inquiry, just doing some shadow work. So clearing the stuff that needs to be cleared, rewriting history, rewriting the future, and cultivating an openness, you know, seeing heartbreak as an opportunity to really let our heart break open and stay open. There's a real opportunity in there when we let that pain trickle all the way through our being to and not run from it. So that's another element that I'll be dealing with in the series is the desire, you know, when we're in pain, to run from it, to not really stand in it, to see the real gift in allowing the pain to be there and to feel it. Because the minute we put a Band-Aid on the pain in one relationship, there's a sense of incompletion there with the pain itself, and that pain will come back to haunt us through another person, place, or thing if it's not really truly cleared and there's not a sense of completion with it. So those are some of the things I'll be talking about. And then by the fourth week, really clarifying intentions in terms of, okay, now that I've taken in the lessons from this relationship, I am clarifying my intentions with the universe in terms of, like we said, dedication to truth, dedication to myself on the deepest level. Then what is that going to look like in a relationship? And clarifying that with the universe, maybe possibly doing some vision boarding and getting a sense of what the heart is desiring from that pure, undivided place.
Thank you, Allegra. Well, there's a few points that I've written down that I want to discuss. I want to come back to Ho'oponopono because even though I know what Ho'oponopono is, maybe not everyone listening does. So we'll talk about that in a second. And then the other person is myself. I want to talk about that as well as feeling the pain. I was actually talking to my therapist, I don't know, recently about how like I'm an intense feeler. And so when I feel I have the benefit of being able to feel joy like very deeply, but unfortunately that also means I feel pain very deeply. And so it really sucks when it hurts. But she said something to me that really struck a chord, that some of the people that she's talked to or that she sees, they don't like, sometimes I feel like, oh, I just wish I didn't feel anything. I just wish I could be numb or whatever. But there are people out there that don't have a wide range of emotion, and all they want is to feel.
Mm-hmm.
So even though it hurts and it sucks, I mean, there is a gift in having the ability to feel that emotion of pain, because not everyone can experience that, and it is part of life.
Absolutely. And like I said before, most people are running away from that pain in one way, shape, or form through collecting identities, collecting you know, through what we do, what we say, all the ways that we mask feeling, whether it's through our work, through our associations, through addiction, through, you know, a whole slew of ways that people avoid pain. I mean, it's really part of the makeup of the human condition is to either chase pleasure or avoid pain. So it is perhaps rare on the planet that one would even want to sit with pain. But from an awakening standpoint, from having a deep shift in consciousness, one sees that that's the only way through. You know, the universe doesn't want us to just know the bliss, because the bliss isn't just it. It's like that until one really realizes that the bliss and the deepest of deep suffering, sort of dark night of the soul style shadow is actually one and the same, until they're really seen as just flavors, shades, variations of the human experience, that there's something in which all of those states exist that is beyond state, then, you know, then that's freedom. But it's my experience for people that are on a deep path of realization that the universe kind of gives you that tour of variations. So, you know, it doesn't let you stay in bliss very long. And if the attention becomes, where is all of this arising? Where is this heartache arising? Where is the joy? You know, when you enter the relationship, you do get that bliss. Talk about a peak experience. You get that momentary, or however long it lasts, that sense of completion. It feels very good, right? We fall into the experience of being undivided, and we mistake that for being it, and you know, the breakup comes along and shows us that was sort of a taste, and then the bittersweet part of the pain comes up to, if we're open to it, to inquire into where all of those states are arising, and that, in my experience, is where the real peace, the real love, the real open-hearted relating stems from.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned the peak experience, because that's the thing. It is, life is peaks and valleys.
Absolutely.
And we chase these peaks, and then we have the peak, and it's like, oh, now that I've felt this experience, that's where I want to be all the time. And then we resent when we're not there, rather than appreciating that we have the ability to have those peaks. We cling to them, and that's where the suffering comes from, right? I mean, life is painful many times.
Absolutely.
But it's our fighting the pain that creates the suffering, because you can sit with the pain and notice it and allow it to pass and be just fine. But when you're constantly pushing it away, that's where the sorrow and the suffering comes from.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it really boils down to wanting something to be different than it is. And even on the spiritual path, you know, people get this idea that once they wake up, or once they have a shift in consciousness, they're never going to feel pain again, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we read these great stories about, you know, one master or another, where it just seems like they had this magical experience, and all of a sudden they just became, they left the human experience, so to speak, and that really isn't the case. You know, if someone has that perspective, eventually they get disheartened, because they realize that, yeah, as long as we're in a human body, we're going to experience pain. It's just whether we take it, whether it's personalized, whether that suffering comes. So learning, a lot of my message is about learning how to have pain, how to have joy, and not get lost in it, to keep the attention on that which is beyond states, in which all of these states arise, as the source of true peace.
Well, and the irony of like clinging to joy is that then you're in the joy and you can't even fully appreciate it because you're so worried you're going to lose it.
Exactly. So exactly. And once you really realize that you are going to lose it,
yeah.
You know, that it's not going to stay, that everything is fleeting, then you tap into real joy, which isn't grasping. It's not trying to hold on to something. You know, it's the nature of, you know, the classic term used in Zen a lot is impermanence, but it truly is the nature. Nothing, we die to each moment, every second, you know, there. We may have a joy this moment, and it turns into the opposite polarity in a second. But the real freedom comes when we just are experiencing what is without any commentary. And that's just so foreign. That's such a leap. You know, we all grew up in a consciousness where we're taught to everything is a means to an end, right? And so, of course, relationships become a means to an end. I mean, ultimately, we want to feel good. We want to stay in that honeymoon kind of place of the new love. We want that. We have this idea. I mean, the movies, the romantic movies, they all sort of perpetuate this myth that we're just going to stay in this la-la beautiful place of peak experience. But anybody that has been in a long-term relationship knows that, you know, that's the beginning, but it's not it.
Well, that's interesting because that was said to me a while back. One of the people that I've been seeing, the one that I mentioned earlier, actually said that he's looking for, like, that honeymoon period to, like, stay for always. And I'm thinking, mm-hmm. Oh, maybe I should run from this because that's not realistic. I don't know.
Well, and I think too, in a partnership, I mean, you can create the intention. There is a certain degree of when you both are co-creating your life and deciding that the romance is going to stay and that newness and that freshness is going to stay. I think, you know, there's a lot to be said about that. Most people, that honeymoon period fades because people become, they start to know the other person. And what I mean by that is they start to, they lose that state of newness, right? We just become familiar. We start to, the longer you're with someone, the more you begin to finish their sentences and really have sort of a solid idea of what they're about. You know their stories, you know the way that they talk, all those things. And it's easy to kind of fall into that. And when you do, you lose the luster, you lose the freshness, which essentially is what awakening is about. It's about really meeting each moment for the first time. So meeting each moment of your partner for the first time. Like, the partner that you knew yesterday isn't the partner that you know today.
Exactly.
Staying in that state of something that's different. I mean, that's so different than most people do it, right? I mean, you see that in people that are in serial relationships, just one relationship after the next, because they're chasing that newness. They're chasing when they can, with consciously co-creating that in a relationship, have that. It just takes two people that are committed to that level of relatedness.
Well, and I love what you just said, Allegra, about, like, assuming that you know the person, because you can be with someone for 20 years and you know them quite well, but we've all heard stories where, you know, you think you know a person and then you find out this thing that's going on with them or whatever. And like you said, I mean, every day we are a new person. I mean, we're all constantly growing, whether we're consciously working on ourselves or not. We're in a constant state of change. And even Wayne Dyer talks about, you know, the 70-year-old body that he's in now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's always been Wayne, but he's not the Wayne he was when he was in his 10-year-old body. He's had new bodies. Like, every day our bodies are changing and growing, and our minds and our spirits are developing. So even if you know someone and you think you know them, there's always a new person every day.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I like that you said that whether people are conscious or not, they're growing, because that's often, you know, it's easy to get on this idea that because someone is awakening, it's higher or lower than, you know, something else. And no, everybody's, you know, evolution is happening to everybody, whether they know it or not. So, yeah, to jump to that level of relatedness where we don't know anything or anyone anymore, and to really see that even in our own past, that to grant ourselves the freedom to be a new person every day, every hour, every minute, right? To stay that open. And I think that's the key to being in a healthy, happy, open relationship is really recognizing the degree of change that we all are undergoing, especially right now on the planet with this tremendous evolutionary impulse to shift.
There's so much. I'm loving this conversation. Thank you, Allegra. I feel like I'm definitely going to have you on the show again, because there's so many questions that are just popping up for me and discussion topics. I want to mention, because I feel like it's unfair to talk about how awesome Ho'oponopono is and then just like leave it at that. So, and if we have time, I'd like to talk a little bit more about how the other person is myself. But just for the Ho'oponopono newbies, could you give us a quick summary?
Yes. So Ho'oponopono is an ancient Hawaiian prayer that was popularized by a guy named Dr. Hugh Lin. I hope I'm saying that correctly. He was a clinical psychologist who was transferred to a prison for the criminally insane in Hawaii. And when he got there, he sat in his office rather than seeing inmates. And he would do this prayer, and without the other employees knowing what he was doing, he would do this. He would take the charts and he would look at each chart, each name on the chart, and know on the level that I'm talking here that anything in the as we perceive out there is actually inside us. So he would look at each inmate's name and heal that part of himself in the form of that inmate. So he would do the prayer, and it's simply, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. And he would do this day in and day out. He would sit in his office doing this prayer, and in the course of, I don't know how long it took, I don't remember, but this prison just shifted dramatically. The inmates were taken out of shackles. I mean, the morale when he got there was incredibly low. There was a high level of violence between inmates, violence between employees and inmates. And in the course of him working there, doing this work, those levels just dropped off dramatically. And eventually clients were, inmates were allowed to leave the prison. There was a book written by Joe Vitale called Zero Limits, which I highly recommend. It's great about the power of this prayer. And so I use this a lot in the talks that I do and in the guided meditations that I do. And I shifted a little bit for my own practice. I noticed that I'm sorry tends to kind of create a...
Yeah, I feel it. I don't
energy.
Like that.
Yeah, it's almost like the word God for some people has become an empty word because they have a negative connotation with it,
mm-hmm.
right? The same is true with I'm sorry. There's that. So I change it to I apologize. And I do, I love you, I apologize, please forgive me, thank you. And then my little Allegra Miller add-on is I am you, you are me, we are one. And I have used this now for years when it comes to penetrating thoughts that just, I become aware of that want to be unleashed. I use it toward a thought, I use it toward a person, place, or thing that may arise in my field as my silent little tool that comes up, and it has transformed. I mean, it's been miraculous, different situations that I've been in, and I've used it with lots of clients, and even on the level of the physical body when there's a blockage or a constriction on one level, to just tune in there and use that prayer. prayer to that part of the self to help it transmute. It's basically, it's a transmutation prayer, and, you know, not something to get caught up so much in the words, but again, it boils down to the intention for that clearing. And so I recommend it in regard to relationship stuff to heal all the aspects that of a relationship, what we said, what we did, what we didn't say, what we didn't do, what the other person said or didn't say, all those elements, to bring those things up to the surface and use Ho'oponopono on can be incredibly valuable.
Thank you. Well, I want to put out your website address again. If you are loving this conversation and you want to check out Allegra Miller's Breaking Up with an Open Heart or some of her other talks, because there's lots of stuff she's got going on, but we only have time. We only have an hour. So AllegraMiller.com is her website. Allegra with two L's, AllegraMiller.com. And that workshop is starting on April 8th. Breaking up with an open heart. Do you have to be breaking up? Can it be for a past breakup? Can you be, everyone's had breakups of some sort.
Absolutely. So no, you don't have to be breaking up. I think it's also, it can be what you want to make it, really, because it's about completion. So, you know, in essence, you could do it breaking up with your old self, you know? Speaking of seeing the world in a new light, I never thought about it until you're saying this, but you know, actually, on the path of transformation, we essentially are breaking up with the ego. And, you know, that's very much a breakup and can be a little traumatic for the old me, right?
Oh, yeah. I need to break up with my ego every day, I think.
Right. Yeah, to really enter that state of newness and to allow ourselves the freedom to grow and change and have our moments of stumbling along the way of, you know, I really get lit up with in what I'm doing to tell people that awakening doesn't have to be this instantaneous thing. You know, for most people, it's not. It's a gradual process. And I feel called to really share that with people, you know, that you can be, you know, awake completely right this second, and the next moment, all of a sudden, feel that state of separation come in again, and knowing how to work with that, how to really build that muscle, to allow yourself to take those baby steps forwards and then fall again and have it be okay, like to really recognize that it's part of the process. It doesn't have to be all or nothing, you know, until that all and the nothing kind of sink in together and become one. It's easy to get lost in thinking this has to be one way. That is something I just really feel called to talk about with people, is to cultivate that compassion, like you said at the beginning of the hour, compassion toward the self and growing.
Well, and you get so attached. I mean, I do this all the time about the way that it should be, like especially in dating. There's the expectations that I have and the way I want to be courted or blah, 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 like all the expectations that I have. And then, you know, I get so caught up in, well, it's not happening exactly how I think it should be. And so rather than appreciating the way that it is, I'm like, well, this is what's wrong and this is the problem and we need to fix this or I need to move on. And, you know, I think part of it is me trying to protect myself. Right.
Yes.
But it's really, I mean, all it's doing is it's actually harming me more than it's helping me. It's not protecting me from anything. It's just creating suffering.
Yes.
But we all do it, right?
Letting go of expectations. It takes a brave heart, courageous heart, to go to that level.
Well, I want to, we have just 6 minutes left in the show. Coming up in just a moment is Parts Unknown with DJ Chris Horrific. He's getting his music ready right now. You can say hello.
Hello.
I know you want to say namaste.
Namaste.
He's so
namaste.
cute.
Namaste.
And So I'd like to take a moment to talk about the other person is myself, because when you were saying that earlier in the hour, I really felt, I felt a warmth inside my heart for like those past relationships where previously there was disappointment, anger, blame, hurt, frustration. And it's sort of like, no, I mean, this, I need to forgive the people and myself for what I perceive as what went wrong, which again is just another judgment, because really we are all one. And I don't know, I'm at a loss for for words, but I just feel like that focusing on the namaste and the light in you is the light in me, and we are all connected. I feel like when we, it's so easy for us to lose perspective of that because we're in our individual bodies. But when we connect with that oneness, there's just so much, the love is, it's not romantic or sexual or clingy or needy. It's just pure.
Yeah. 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 To grant someone the freedom to do what they have done or haven't done and really see that they did exactly what they were supposed to do. And if you can come to that realization that to really forgive them as really not just forgiving them as someone out there, but forgiving that aspect of yourself, just like Dr. Hewlin took the charts and healed that part of himself, we come together in relationships. We literally attract ourselves, you know? I mean, that is the nature of relationships. We attract aspects of ourselves that want to be looked at. And so when we encounter those sticky, shadowy parts of the self, to really look and bring that open-hearted compassion to the equation is revolutionary, because it grants that person the freedom to do and say and be exactly who they are, you know, for better or worse, no judgment, just really allowing them. And if we can do that with another person, then we can do that with ourselves, which is usually, if one is honest, that's the hardest place to look, because it's often easier to grant another person the freedom and grant the other person forgiveness and allowance, but we don't do that to ourselves. So, yeah, when one starts to really look at the equation like that, it takes things to a whole different level. It takes compassion to a whole different level.
Thank you, Allegra. I wish we had a whole nother hour, because there's so much more this conversation. I could just talk with you all day. Thank you for being on the show. Again, AllegraMiller.com, and you're on Facebook.
I am on Facebook, and people can feel free to connect with me and friend me on Facebook. That happens a lot lately, so I'm open to that. So.
Wonderful. Well, I hope you'll be on the show again, because this is awesome and I want to talk with you more.
Oh, great. Well, thank you. And I just have to say, this is my first radio interview. So.
Oh, my God. Well, you totally rocked it.
Well, thank you. Speaking of newness and being and allowing ourselves to grow and evolve and all of that, yeah.
Good for you. See, and you're already being invited back. You're a natural.
Well, thank you. Yes, I appreciate that.
Awesome.
And look forward to it. So
thank you. Okay, well, have a good day. Christopher Fick is up in a second, so I've got to go.
Okay.
But thank
All
you
right,
so
bye
much.
Bye.
All right. So again, that was Allegra Miller here on Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. AllegraMiller.com, AllegraMiller Miller.com. Coming up in just a moment is Chris Arific, Parts Unknown, so stick around for that. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. We'll be back next week talking about effortless meditation, and hopefully maybe we can get a little bit more self-love and love for the world and all of that going on next week. I want to send my love to you, my deep, deep gratitude for all of the donations for the fund drive, and my gratitude for just being here and connecting with me each week. So thank you so much for that, and I love you so much. Be well. Namaste.
sea salt, malt vinegar, newspaper wrapping, red sauce,